Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. Some years ago, one of my CEF board members, Marlene List, shared a devotional for a Saturday morning prayer time that I never forgot. She asked us to turn to 2 Chronicles 17 that was about a preparation for spiritual revival that took place and spread throughout the land of Judah under King Jehoshaphat. Sometime later, after Marlene shared her devotional from chapter 17, I did a deep dive into the chronological background of the book of Chronicles and discovered that this particular revival that had occurred during a time of spiritual decline in the midst of the divided kingdom. After the United Kingdom reign under King David and his son Solomon, the 10 northern tribes split off to form Israel, the northern kingdom, while the remaining two tribes of Judah and Benjamin became the southern kingdom of Judah, which included within the land of Judah itself, God's chosen city, the spiritual capital of all the land, the city of Jerusalem. Immediately after the two kingdoms were torn and rent in two, the northern kingdom of Israel turned and rebelled against the Holy One and fell into false worship and the outright worship of demons labeled as idolatry, according to the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 11. But before we get too judgmental against the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, it must be stated that it was not only the land of Israel that had a debased spiritual and moral problem, the kingdom of Judah also began to turn away from the Lord, first slowly and incrementally, and then in full strident steps of blatant rebellious sin against the God of Israel. King Solomon started this downward idolatry sin spiral during the United Kingdom period through his multiple mixed marriages to foreign wives, who brought with them into Israel the worship of false gods and the practice of demonic paganism. The result was that idolatry began to crisscross the land, and these high places filled with pagan worship were constructed and popped up all across the land and were located even within and without the surrounding areas of the city of Jerusalem itself. Sexual immorality among the people and the priests greatly increased, including gross sexual perversion that was mixed and blended together with the practice of idolatry and demonic paganism that was like pornography on steroids. The flourishing of these false altars and worship of false gods in the embedded groves and lifted up high places became like in-person triple X-rated movies that was at first glanced over or ignored by the people and their leaders and then was condoned and embraced at the highest levels. It was at this time in the history of Judah, interstage left, King Asa, the Judean king and the future father of King Jehoshaphat of 2 Chronicles 17. King Asa started off well in leading the southern kingdom of Judah and doing what was right in God's eyes, but in the end, he finished poorly. Asa had a warrior's heart for God, warring against these false gods and idolatry and even cutting down those pagan groves and began removing the high places. The scripture records that Asa built up also fence-walled cities, strengthened the nation's defenses and the Judean army, but at all times King Asa looked not to his own assets or his own army for protection, but to the Lord God of Israel, to his ultimate defender against sworn enemies, both domestic and foreign. King Asa then proclaimed a national decree that all people in the land were to seek the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, both men and women, and those great and small. All the people in the land of Judah were admonished to worship the Lord God only and to love and serve no other. But then the Bible records that something switched within Asa's heart. The scripture hints that the spoils of war accumulated in mass and the peace and the prosperity of the land gave way to laziness and lulled King Asa and the people into spiritual passivity. When the threat of war came down from the north, instead of Asa relying on the Lord God as he had before, he turned to buying foreign alliances to protect him and his kingdom with his newly gotten gold. God even sent a prophet to King Asa to wake him up, to get his attention, but Asa, he paid no heed. In a rage, the Bible says that Asa threw the prophet into prison, and at the same time, Asa began oppressing his very own people. The Bible records then this sad note at the end of Asa's life that he was smitten with a disease, but in all his pain and anguish, even though the disease was exceedingly great, King Asa, the Judean king, looked not to the Lord, the Bible says, but to the physicians. How can this be? And how is the spiritual decline of turning away from seeking the Lord and relying on the Lord then even possible? How can someone like King Solomon or King Asa start out so well and so wisely, but end up so spiritually poor? You know, recently I was reading through the book of 2 Chronicles again, and it seems like the spiritual condition of the leaders and their effect upon the land and the people throughout the history of the Bible was like an up and down spiritual yo-yo. One moment they are up, way up, and the next they are going down, way down into outright degenerate sin and turning and walking away from the Lord. And thinking about the spiritual waywardness of Israel and the land of Judah, I can't help but to connect it to the current condition of outright rebellion and spiritual waywardness in our own country. How can a nation that was founded on Judean Christian values and religious freedom of worship by the Puritan pilgrims devolve in the current state of our nation today? You know, actually, it's easy. It's a slow slide. It happens to any person, to a church or a denomination, or even to a whole nation, one step at a time. Instead of walking with the Lord and having a heart that turned towards seeking the Lord, one turns away from the Lord with no repentance of sin. King Asa in 2 Chronicles 16 exited his reign on a downward spiritual spiral, no signs of repentance. But then in 2 Chronicles 17, Asa's son, King Jehoshaphat, entered stage right and sought to stay right with the Lord for the most part all the days of his reign. In looking at a bird's eye view of 2 Chronicles, it is clear that the Lord used King Jehoshaphat to both prepare the people's hearts and to lead the people's hearts to spiritual repentance and revival. And you know, that's exactly what 2 Chronicles 17 is all about, the preparation steps for revival. But how exactly did God have King Jehoshaphat do that? Well, the first step was that Jehoshaphat, as the king and leader of the people, prepared his own heart to seek the Lord. You see, revival never begins out there with somebody else. It begins first right here with you and with me. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3 and 4 states that Jehoshaphat sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. You see, the first step to revival is not to throw ourselves into some rote rosary form of repentance, but to prepare our heart to seek the Lord. The Lord is our God, not someone else's God, and we will not compromise or serve any other. With King Jehoshaphat, there was no compromise. His heart was lifted up for the Lord alone. The Lord God had first place in his heart, his home, his nation, and his whole life. And because his heart was towards the Lord and to seeking the Lord, anything that grieved God's heart had to go, including those wicked groves and lifted up high places that his father, King Asa, failed to remove. 2 Chronicles 17:6 is a shorter verse, but it unveils King Jehoshaphat's resolute heart for God. It says, "And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places in the groves out of Judah." Now, that is a short, small verse, but it is a huge, big step. You see, the second step in how King Jehoshaphat prepared his people's hearts for repentance and revival was not only to prepare his own heart to seek the Lord, but to prepare his heart to walk in the ways of the Lord. You know, that means simply this, that anything that stands against God or exalts itself above God or that is worshipped as God has got to go. Get rid of your idols, repent of your sin, cut it down and cut it out, because sin-laced adultery not only pollutes your heart, it pollutes the whole nation and the whole land. You know, I was thinking that it's more than interesting that the backdrop of the unfolding story of the book of 2 Chronicles, including chapter 17, is really the prayer of King Solomon at the temple's dedication found in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7. Six times at the temple dedication, King Solomon prayed, "Lord, if your people called by your name turn to you and repent of their sin, then hear thou from heaven and forgive their sin." You see, the Lord God and King Solomon knew that men's hearts were prone to wander and sin against God. King Solomon knew that even his own heart could become chock full of sin, but at the same time, Solomon knew that God is a God who is not only a God of judgment, but also is a God of great mercy and longs to show his loving kindness to his people if they seek him, repent of their sin, and turn back to him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's an often quoted spiritual revival verse, and its message is so clear. God says to his people, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." You know, our country and the whole world needs spiritual repentance and revival now like more than ever before. Jesus is coming, and God's people need to get ready. I think it's interesting in 2 Chronicles that it's not first the wicked whom God calls to repentance, but it's God's own people. If our land is divided, if our land reeks with abject sin and brazen wickedness and boasts and barbaric practices disguised as convenience, we are fast becoming as the days of Noah or living in a widespread Sodom and Gomorrah. But even then, it is not first the wicked that God calls to repentance, for God will have his day and the wicked will be judged in due time. God will take care of that. But it is God's people, those called by his name, that the Lord calls to turn to him, us, his people, to humble ourselves before him, to pray and seek the Lord, and to turn from our wicked ways. Then God says he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. You know, God is saying to his people today and to King Jehoshaphat back then, he says, you get serious with me, and I'll get serious with you, for judgment must first begin in the house of God. Jehoshaphat got serious about tearing down those sin-laden groves, the false idols and altars, and called his people out for playing with the devil and demonic practices. King Jehoshaphat unashamedly and without hesitation cut down those entrenched hidden high places that no one before him wanted to touch or talk about or get serious about taking down. The third step, step three in preparing for revival, is that King Jehoshaphat not only prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to walk in the ways of the Lord, but also he prepared his people to know the word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 17 records something very interesting that no king before King Jehoshaphat had done. Jehoshaphat appointed teaching princes and teaching priests to go out throughout all the land of Judea and to teach the cities. When Marlene Liss shared her devotional from 2 Chronicles 17 that day, it was actually this verse, verse 9, that she camped on. It said, "And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people." You see, King Jehoshaphat knew that preparing people's hearts for spiritual repentance and revival must go one step further, so that long-lasting revival would filter down throughout all the land and to the future generations. And that is because the number one reason why sin had even entered the land and the people turned away from God is because of this. They did not know the true God of Israel, and they did not know his word. If spiritual repentance and revival is to come again to our nation, we must not fail as his people to take this next step. We can't stop with just humbling ourselves before holy God, repenting of our sins and the sins of our nation to get us out of a jam or to throw ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord, asking for his forgiveness and just heal our land. We must go further and take this next step to actively, each one of us as believers, to devote ourselves as the Lord's people, as his teaching priests, to go and proclaim the knowledge of the Lord throughout all the land, to every city, to school, so that all the people everywhere and all the children, the future generations, would know God and know his word. Right now in CEF, our ministry is doing like a miniature, small-scale version of 2 Chronicles 17. In over 40 different cities and towns throughout Illinois, our CEF staff and summer missionaries are traveling across the state holding backyard Bible clubs, FIDE clubs we call it, in homes, parks, community centers, and even churches as a gospel outreach. Our modern-day believer priests are taking God's book in hand and traversing the land by pointing to children, the future generation, to Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and the whole point and purpose of this book. I know that our staff and summer missionaries, we can't do it all. We're never meant to, but it encourages my heart so much to know that God's people yet today can be part of God's plan to prepare people's heart for spiritual repentance and revival when we, as his people, personally turn to the Lord, turn away from our sin, and turn to place our faith in the promised one and to rest in all the promises of God found in this book. You know, the result of the recorded spiritual revival that took place in 2 Chronicles 17, the Bible says, is that the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land so that the land of Judah had rest all about. You know, no one is promising a rose-colored Christian life and living all for Christ, but God does long to give his people rest, spiritual rest, and true rest in the Lord only comes from a revived, repentant heart. We need to pray for revival. Pray for revival like never before, but more importantly, let it begin with you and with me. Let's take a page from King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17 and prepare our own heart to seek the Lord, to prepare our heart to walk in His ways, repenting, casting down our idols, and then go that one step further, go and teach others so that people would know the true and living God and His Word and find their rest in Him. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week. But until then, let us begin now, today, to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord and to walk in His ways and rest our hearts in Him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. Or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
So please tell me again.